Well, here we are in just a few days away from celebrating the resurrection, and Sunday we'll be doing that here. And in a lot of ways, we haven't made a very big deal out of Easter this year. One reason is just the concern. Well, there's several reasons, but one reason is we have been concerned about seating. And so come Sunday, Matt made mention of it, but come Sunday, the ushers are, they're just going to fill in the chairs. Sunday, we were almost out of seats. And so this Sunday, we know it will bring in more chairs, but we know we'll be pretty close to being out of seats. And so we just ask for, you know, everybody put on their very best Easter smile. And recognize this is not about you. It's about what the Lord wants to do to transform people. You're invited to be transformed as well. But that there will be people here who will hear the gospel. There will be people here who will be saved. There will be people here who need you to have a good attitude. And so I'll remind you on Facebook. But just wanted to say that to you. Praise God. Well, let's pray again. Just jump in here. Father, we thank you so much that you speak to us, that we're not dependent on any man to teach us, that we're not dependent on any person. Father, that the Holy Spirit's job in our lives is to teach us, to lead us and to guide us into all the truth. And tonight, we just turn our attention to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we look on the inside where the Holy Spirit is, where you live and abide within us, Father, by your Spirit. And we listen intently to what you would have to say to us. And I know, Father, there are things you want me to share, but even more than that, there are things you want to share heart to heart, spirit to spirit with your people here tonight. And I ask you, Father, to speak to each of us and help us to see what we need to see. Help us to hear what we need to hear. Teach us, Father. Train us by the Spirit of the living God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Well, we aren't going to be sharing a Passover meal or something like that here tonight. Instead, we are going to continue what I started last week. I had kind of a two-part message I started last week over in 1 Corinthians 12. And so if you want to turn your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to take up there with some, just make mention of what I talked about last week. How many of you were not here last week? There's a few of you that weren't here, okay. If you weren't here, you can get the podcast and hear. But I last week was the first part. Like I said, this is the second part. Are you in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1? It says this. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." It's interesting. There's not many places where someone writing in the scripture said specifically, "I don't want you to be ignorant." And so it causes me to, like, my ears perk up. I get a little like, "What do you mean you don't want me to be ignorant?" And that's a sign to me that there is ignorance. And there's ignorance available. If I'll be susceptible, there's ignorance. And there was ignorance there in the church at Corinth. There was ignorance in Paul's day when he was writing this. And in the same way, there's ignorance today. I told you last week that the reason I was sharing along these lines last week and then even tonight is for three primary reasons. First of all, there's just ignorance about spiritual gifts. And ignorance is not a bad thing. I mean, we all are born ignorant, right? I mean, ignorance, we use it kind of as a derogatory term, but it's not about being ignorant. The problem is when there's information available and you stay ignorant. Some people seem to be willfully ignorant. You know, I'm willfully ignorant about many things, but hopefully not the things I need to know about. And but there seems to be some ignorance, a lot of ignorance even in our day about spiritual gifts. People don't talk about them. They're not taught them. People don't hear much about them. It's not like a major thing necessarily in the body of Christ. So that's one thing. And then secondly, there has been some erroneous teaching. One main thing is that the gifts that are described here, that many of them are passed away, that they were for the early church and they're not in operation now. Or another line of thinking is that people have substituted natural physical works for what really are supposed to be, according to the scripture, works of the Holy Spirit. For example, for that I'd say some people understand the gifts of healings as being the work of doctors. Have any of y'all ever heard that? God gave us medicine now, so we don't need, you know, that we see Jesus healed and we see in the Bible there was healing, but now we have doctors and we don't need that. And I personally thank God for doctors, don't you? Yeah, doctors and everything. God, I believe God's, you know, God's into healing in many ways. And he's certainly, any kind of help for you physically, God is in that. He's into helping you. But he's not limited to medicine. And so he does work through doctors, but that's not the only thing. There is a spiritual and there is a supernatural healing that comes by the Spirit of God. So that's another way that, another reason I'm sharing it is because information that has been taught, shared, things people have heard are not necessarily, you know, it's not actually scriptural. And then the third reason, it might be the most important reason for you tonight that I'm sharing this, is because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to use you to manifest these gifts. This is how the Holy Spirit manifests himself. These gifts that he talks about. I mentioned last week that people want a move of God. People want the Holy Spirit to manifest himself. And so we can easily become very squirrely and come up with all these ways that God works. But I like to go to the Bible to see how God works instead of me thinking up something. Instead of you having an experience and calling me and saying, hey, I had this great experience and it was God. I'm instead, just so that I can, you know, stay actually stable in my life spiritually, I have to go to the Bible and see what does the Bible say. And let's go with what the Bible says and let's see how the Holy Spirit manifests himself according to the scripture. And let's go right there. And then maybe when we've exhausted that, we can entertain something else. But I dare say if Jesus didn't exhaust it and the early church didn't exhaust it, we're not going to exhaust it either. The Holy Spirit still manifests himself in the same way. Y'all do know the Word was inspired by the Holy Spirit and he knows how to explain what he does. And that's what these chapters are about here in Corinthians. So here we are, Paul saying, by the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. So why don't you just say to yourself, I don't want to be ignorant either. Do you want to be ignorant? You can be. And you might be. You might be ignorant if. Okay. Never mind. I can make some of those redneck jokes, but I'll just go on. All right, verse 4. Verse 4 here. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences in ministry, same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. I'm not going to go through all these again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So it's available for every believer, each one, but the ultimate goal is it's the profit of all. It's the profit of the body. It's not for one individual to profit. And then, now I just want to read through the gifts because we're going on to chapter 14 and I just will refer back to these. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Remember, that's not just you having wisdom. James says if you don't know what to do, that you can ask for wisdom, and we certainly know from the Bible that there is wisdom for us. Jesus was made unto us wisdom. So there's wisdom for us, but this is not talking about that kind of wisdom. This kind of wisdom is a special gifting of God's wisdom. We talked about that last week. To another, the word of knowledge. Again, you can have knowledge and all, but this is a special kind of knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Again, we know faith comes by hearing from the Word of God. But this isn't talking about just that kind of faith, Bible faith. This is talking about a gift of faith. It's different than the kind that comes by hearing. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And that's a real key point, that the Holy Spirit manifests these gifts as he wills. It's not as you will. And so, you know, it's arrogant for you to think that you can jump up at any moment and have a word of knowledge or have a word of wisdom or have a prophecy or have a, you know, something like that, because you might be willing it, but the Holy Spirit is the one who wills it. And so, we cooperate with him, we yield to him, but he's the one who is doing it. It's at his will, not at yours. Okay. Chapter 14. Let's go over there and we'll get going with what we're going to talk about tonight. Chapter 14. Verse 1, it says this, pursue love, and sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14 is one of the most famous passages in all the Bible, which is the famous love chapter. Y'all remember that? Love is patient. Well, that's really important for for you to note, because love, all of this, as the Holy Spirit manifests himself, he is the Spirit of love, and he's, all of these gifts are going to flow out of compassion and love and mercy, because he's love. So none of these gifts are going to be apart from his love. He's not going to use these gifts, and you shouldn't be thinking, I'm going to use these gifts in any way that departs from his love. And his love will be manifested. And he says here, pursue love. So that's a good word for you. If you want the gifts of the Spirit to manifest in your life, pursue love. Pursue love. Pursue love. Run after love. Seek love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So it's scriptural for us to desire these things. And, I think I've mentioned this last week. There's something about talking about these gifts and giving examples of them, even like we did last week, that will create in you, start to create in you a desire for them. I had people ask me later after I shared last week, people said, well, where can I get more material? Are there other resources available? I want to learn more about this. So I could see already it was whetting an appetite for people. And so just in hearing about the gifts of the Spirit, hearing about their operation, it makes you want to be like, yeah, maybe God wants to use me in that way. Well, the answer to maybe is definitely God wants to use you in that way. This is for all believers, not just a special few chosen super spiritual people, but every believer. He wants these things operating in your life. So desire them. He goes on to say, but especially that you may prophesy. Remember last week we talked about prophecy. And what prophecy is, it's an inspired utterance. It's the Holy Spirit inspiring you to speak in your own language, in a language you understand. So it's when the Holy Spirit comes up in you and inspires you to say something. And I think that probably this is the most common gift that we see in operation in the church. And that, but one reason is because it's not too different than what we would normally do. And also because it's something that it's in your known language, and it's something that we give place to. And all of us, I think, well, many of us, I'll say it that way, many of us have probably had moments of prophecy in our lives, whether we've recognized it as such or not. And it didn't mean that you came up front and got the microphone and said, thus saith the Lord, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't that. It's just in talking or ministering to somebody, you get over into a place where you know that the Holy Spirit is igniting something, and you're speaking words that are better than your words, and they're inspired. There's an inspiration on them, and they begin to minister to somebody. Or maybe you can have an inspired utterance for yourself that just ministers to you. And something comes up in you, and it's the Holy Spirit, and that will be prophecy. But he says to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So if you have never really operated in these gifts, let me just say to you tonight, I got advice for you. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and just say to yourself, I'm going to just trust God that the gift of prophecy would just begin to work in my life, that there would be an inspire, that he would inspire me to say things that are beyond me, that are of him. So that's a good way to get started. Goes on to say, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, when we speak in tongues, we speak to God. Whether we're speaking in tongues with our devotional language, remember last week we talked about that you have, there's two kinds of tongues. It's the same tongues, but there's two uses of tongues. One is when we speak to God as in prayer, we might call it our prayer language. The other is a public use of tongues. And that's what it's talking about, that the Holy Spirit initiates, that is the gift of tongues. But either way, when we speak in tongues, we're speaking to God, not to men. That's why it wouldn't be appropriate for you to walk up to me and start speaking to me in other tongues and expect me to understand it. There really isn't any reason for you to do that unless you're like doing an April Fool on me, or, I don't know if there's actually ever an appropriate use for you to be walking up to me speaking in tongues, unless you have like a weird tongue you think, is this really a tongue or not? I don't know. There's not really a real good reason, but, so don't be doing that. I don't want to hear your tongue tonight. But it says here, when we speak in tongues, we're speaking to God. So it's not a use of tongues to speak to each other. But here's another thing I want to point out, because I know people and have been around people, met people who use their tongues, and they call them warring tongues. Have y'all heard of warring tongues? We have some people that have heard of foreign tongues. And they are doing spiritual warfare, and they're like, by saying war, what their idea is that they're yelling at the enemy, or they're dealing with the enemy in other tongues. But you don't speak to the devil. Now this is kind of heavy news. Look at her. I'm sorry. She's coming in here like, what in the world did I get into tonight? I just came to hold the baby. Just, you know, you be blessed. I'm not trying to make... Okay. Oh, good. I don't know. We have guests sometimes that you're just stepping in it here tonight. Sorry about that. But anyway, people come in but what I'm trying to talk about, what I was talking about was warring tongues. And people are using their tongues in warfare against the devil. And I've seen people, they're yelling at the devil in tongues. Well, you're not yelling at the devil in tongues because the Bible tells us, the book that is the instruction manual for everything that God has given us, it tells us when we speak in tongues, we're speaking to who? God. To God, not to the devil. And then, you know, so let's just go with what the Bible says. Okay. Now, here's something else. Some people have interpreted in modern times that speaking in tongues is just when we speak in other languages. That if tongues exist, it is just, like Eddie, if you were speaking in tongues, maybe you're speaking, remember you went down to Honduras, and I happen to know, because you're my brother, and I had the same Spanish teacher you did, that there is no way you learned any Spanish from Miss McCoy.
No, I didn't.
Okay, because we always said she was from the south of Spain, because she spoke Spanish with a terrible southern accent. You remember that? Oh, my goodness. So I had her several years after you did. So I know you didn't have a lot of Spanish. So you go down to Honduras where they speak Spanish. Now, here's what some people interpret tongues in our day to be, is if Eddie went down to Honduras and he can't speak to the people in Honduras in Spanish where they can understand him. And so the Holy Spirit would manifest himself and enable Eddie to preach to them in Spanish, and that would be then what the Holy Spirit would be doing, and that would be an appropriate use and perhaps the only use of tongues. And they based that on the fact that in Acts chapter 2, when people were speaking in other tongues, when they originally filled and they spilled out of the upper room and they were in the streets, that there were people there that heard them speaking in their languages. So there is an element of that, and it can happen. But that's not the main use of it, because it says here, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So the foremost use of tongues, and in what the Bible says the use of tongues is not to speak to people, even in their language. It says here, they heard them. It's interesting, you go back and read in Acts, it doesn't say they heard them preaching the gospel in their language. It says they heard them speaking in tongues, but they were magnifying or glorifying God. So they were speaking to God. They may have been speaking in a language that they themselves didn't understand, but other people there understood, but they still weren't speaking to those people. They just actually could understand it. They were still speaking to God. So even in what it happened there on the day of Pentecost, it still lined up with this verse, because they weren't speaking to those people. And I just want to point out that later on the day of Pentecost, there were people speaking to, you know, there was preaching done and people were being saved, but it was done because Peter got up in his known language and preached the gospel.
Right.
He didn't get up and preach the gospel in other tongues. So that's important, and we have to look at, you know, the Bible will agree with itself, and if you look at it, the Bible does actually agree with itself. So when you speak in tongues, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God, which is a good thing, because, you know, we don't always know what we should speak, what we should say to God. He's God after all, but so that I just wanted to point that out. And here's the deal. When you speak in tongues, sometimes, has anybody ever thought, come on, I know some of you have, when you speak in tongues, has your mind ever said you're just speaking in gibberish? Because, you know, especially maybe when you first begin to, if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit after you were, you know, like really conscious of what you're doing, and you're like, this is, and the devil will tell you this is gibberish, you know, and probably sometimes it kind of sounds like gibberish. And, you know, It can sound kind of weird. And if you maybe ever heard anybody before you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and you heard other people speak in tongues, maybe you're here tonight and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you've heard other people here in the church do it, maybe it just sounds kind of weird. But I'm going to tell you, no matter what it sounds like to you, the Bible says that when we speak in tongues, that we are speaking mysteries and we are speaking to God. And that even though it may sound to us like nothing, it's significant. It's supernatural. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through us. And it may just sound to our minds like gibberish. And I have to admit, even though I've told you many times, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit as long as I can remember. And I still think it's kind of weird. And I still think it's a little bit gibberishy, you know, and it's strange. And sometimes when I hear you speak in tongues, I think you have weird tongues. I hear people sometimes, I'm like, that is a weird tongue, man. I remember when Maddie Sue got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She's a little girl. It was very strange what happened. She's in the back seat of the car and Carol was with me. We're in the front seat. We're driving somewhere and Maddie Sue's little tiny girl, and we just hear her go zinga zanga zinga zang, something kind of like that. Do you remember this? And I'm like, look at Carol, and then a minute, zinga zang, something very like zinga zanga zinga zang, and you're like, Maddie Sue, what are you doing? I'm getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, okay. And I give Carol that smile that parents, you know, often give to others about their kids, like, she's crazy. And so you're gonna, and then she just rattles off, and then she just spoke in tongues, and then we got her home, and she just, all the night long, she just spoke in other tongues, and it got a little bit better than zinga zanga at some point. Even though I have to tell you, her siblings make fun of her tongues even till this day. It's a family joke, but don't tell her I said that. but they make fun of her tongues even today, because her tongues sound kind of weird, don't they? But she's speaking to God, and it's supernatural, and she's speaking divine secrets. This, another translation says, mysteries. So even though it seems like gibberish and foolishness, and in a lot of ways, like, what good is that? It's supernatural, and it's a God-inspired language, and it's wonderful, and it's powerful, and I'm speaking divine secrets. Jesse, don't you tell Maddie Sue what I said. Okay. All right. I have to call her up and repent right now. Okay. Verse 3, it goes on to say, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And this is really important, because what I have experienced and seen is that when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're excited. It's just very similar to when my mother got her iPhone. It's similar. Because when my mother got her iPhone, she did what many of us did. I'm just picking on her. This is the night I pick on people with red hair. And so when my mother got her iPhone, you know what she did? She got it and she just started doing this. And like all these things would come up, and then she'd say, it's not working. So like very often, my mom lives, you know, right adjacent to us. She lives in a house right there on our property, right with us. And so she would just come in the back door with her phone. Same thing when she had her iPad, same thing. She'd just come in the door, and she'd be like, it's broke. And then we introduced her to the marvel of, you know, the reset, turning it off and turning it back on. What, the power button? Yeah, the home button. That's a good thing too. And so, because it was like a toy to her that she wasn't quite sure what to do with, but she was very excited to use it. And that's often how people are when they receive the Holy Spirit, is it's kind of like, it's wonderful, but then in some ways it's like a toy and they want to use it, but then they don't ever read the manual. They don't do any tutorials. They don't show up at the Genius Bar out at the Apple Store and get any proper instruction. So they just start doing their things, and all this weird stuff can happen. And they can just get strange things going. Well, I've seen people do that with prophecy. And I've seen some bad stuff happen. I think I've shared with y'all before, when I was at ORU, it was a girl that lived on my sister wing. And she had come to ORU and she had just gotten out of a really bad situation. And what happened is that her youth group in her church, she went to Spirit-Filled Church, they had in her youth group gotten into this practice where the youth pastors would, by the Spirit, get a prophecy about who each of the young people were to marry. And they would decide, they would call them up, and they would prophesy, thus says the Lord, you, I see you, and you are to marry, and they, you know, point to somebody else. Well, I mean, it would be people that they weren't dating. I mean, I'm not talking about seeking godly counsel as two young people are drawn to each other and God's dealing with them and they go and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just, well, I started to say witchcraft. It's what it is. Just spiritual manipulation. Just somebody having a heyday by the Spirit. And they would prophesy. And that now everybody knows it. And then it would start all the peer pressure like, well, I'm, you know. And so she had gotten engaged to a guy that way. And she had just by the skin of her teeth, made, you know, broke that off and ran to ORU. That's a great reason to go to ORU. Write that down, Harry. And just another reason to go. And she came to ORU just to escape a bad engagement that she almost married a guy just because the youth pastor called her up and prophesied this is who you're supposed to marry. I'm going to tell you, that is unscriptural. But it's, sadly, it's practiced in a lot of places. But the reason I bring it up right here when we're reading this verse is because Paul told us what prophecy was for. It's for edification. It's for exhortation and it's for comfort. Edification is to charge you up. Just like we edify our phone batteries when we plug them in, charge them up. It's a charging up. And exhortation, or a building up, build something up, something God's working in your life and it adds to it and builds it up. In exhortation, one thing I was reading not long ago about exhortation and biblical exhortation, and it said in our modern day, the best picture of exhortation is a coach at halftime when the team's in the locker room. And what the coach is doing is he's exhorting the team. And so that's what happens. Now, when a coach, now, Eddie, you know more about football than me. Just a smidge. No, you do. And so now my understanding of what a coach would do at halftime is he would remind the team of what they'd practiced. He would maybe go over about the plays that they had already, you know, learned long before and had run in practice many times and maybe had done in previous games. He's tweaking them on something that they were doing and they weren't doing it right. Maybe he's getting in their face about their attitude. Maybe he's just encouraging them, guys, I know we're down, but we can still win this game. Isn't this the kind of stuff that would happen in the locker room? It's not when he would come in and say, you know, guys, I know that this is the playbook that we've had, but we're tearing that all up, and now I have this new harebrained, you know, plan, and this is what we're going to do. That's not what the coach should be doing at the halftime, right? Yeah. He's just reminding, encouraging, tweaking things that they already have learned, studied, and known. And that's what exhortation would be. It's not giving you a new direction you've never heard of before. So it's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Comfort. And one of the most comforting things the Holy Spirit does is when He's been dealing with us about something, and there's kind of this wrestling. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Does the Holy Spirit ever wrestle with it? It's not Him wrestling with you. It's you wrestling with yourself, mostly. Like Kristen was talking about earlier, that's what Jesus was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was wrestling with His own self. Well, sometimes we're wrestling with ourselves, and we know we've gotten direction from the Lord, but we're just sort of trying to work this out. Maybe we feel like we're in a fog, you know? We're trying to work that out. And the comfort will come when the Holy Spirit just comes in on you and gives you that peace. And sometimes that comes from through prophecy. It'll bring a peace to you because it'll confirm to you. And suddenly in that moment, it just settles down. And this is what I need. This is what it is. And it's prophecy. It's not directional. It's not a new thing you've never done before. It's comfort. It's confirmation. Now, good example of this just happened Sunday morning. Sunday morning, Cassim Murray is going back on active duty, and he's moving to Louisiana. Y'all remember this? If you were here Sunday morning, Cassim and Angie came up here, and then we ministered to him, laid hands on him. Matt prayed for him, and then Matt handed me the microphone. And when Matt handed me the microphone, just moments before he handed me the microphone, out of seemingly nowhere, up inside me, came the scripture, that a man's gifts will bring him before great men. Were you here and you heard me say that? And so I just said to him, it just came up in me, this, you know, the scripture, Proverbs, that a man's gifts will bring him before great men. And then I just said, elaborated on that, I see you, God's promoting you, and it's not necessarily a military promotion. God's promoting you, and he's put in you and you've developed, it's going to bring you four great men. Well, that was all it was. We finished, went and sat down, everything. After the service, I'm in the back hallway, and Cassine, so funny, the very last Sunday Cassine's going to be here, and what's he doing? He's sweeping the atrium and cleaning up. He's serving. His last moment's here, and he's serving. What a nut that man is. What a blessing. Yeah. And he sees, looks up and sees me, and he grabs his broom, and he runs right over to me. He said, Pastor Susie, I have to tell you something. He said, I woke up really early this morning, and he said, all I could think about was that scripture that you said to me when you prayed for me. He said, I woke up this morning with that scripture on my mind, and I'm thinking, what does this mean? And he said, and I'm sitting there, and I feel like the Lord is saying to me that that scripture's for me. And then I'm basically entering this, in doing this, I'm entering a new season, a new time. And he said, and then you said in front of everybody that same scripture that I'm laying in my bed just going, oh my goodness, why am I thinking of this scripture? And then you said it. Well, I didn't say it. I mean, it did come out my mouth, but it was this very thing. And I looked at him and he said to me, he said, I think that was confirmation. And I said, you think? Supernatural. But it wasn't, I mean, there were no, I didn't hear any horns blowing, no shofars. There were, you know, were blasted. There was no, you know what I mean? There were no goosebumps involved, at least on my part. I mean, it just seemed really normal to me. You understand? It just came up inside of me, and I said, didn't seem any, there was no, in that moment in the service, there was no special glistening. There was certainly no gold dust falling from heaven. It was just something that came up in me, and I said it. But to him, it was comforting. It was exhortation. It was encouragement to him. It charged him up. You see that? So that's how the gifts work. They're not always spectacular, but they're very supernatural. So just, that's just a good example of how that works. I lost my place in my Bible, so I'm trying to get my Bible to move. I need my mother to come up and show me how to use it, don't I? Seems to be stuck. Oh, and the whole app just closed. Okay, great. How do I get it back, Nan? All right, why don't we go to the next verse and we can read it up here while I'm trying to get there. No, I got it. It finally came back. Yes, we're just down here. Okay, yeah, here we are at verse 5. And then Paul goes on and he says this. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. And I can say that for you. I wish all of you spoke in tongues. And we are very strong here at Good News Church, and every person, every believer being baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We consider that essential equipment. It's not for a special few elite. It's not for those that are really committed. It's not for those who have this great wealth of, you know, scriptural knowledge, those that have been through the program. None of that. This is for every believer. He who calls on the name of the Lord, and then you just ask for this gift, and it's ready for you. So I wish you spoke in tongues. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now in this place, he's talking about again here, the public use. Now, I think I told you last week that in Corinthians, Paul writing to this church, they were having all kinds of spiritual and not really God spiritual, just all kinds of things happening, all kind of happenings, spiritual, so to speak, happenings. And a lot of it was kind of just fleshly. It wasn't God. Some of it was. And Paul's writing this to straighten out the situation. It's part of what he's doing here. And in doing that, he's laying down sort of the guidelines for how these manifestations happen for the rest of the church for the ages to come, which includes us. But here, he's talking about this, we talked about last week, the public and the private use of tongues, but he's talking about this public prophecy and public tongues and interpretation. And what he's saying makes total sense. That in the church, if I got up, took the microphone here tonight, and I just stood up here for 20 minutes and spoke in tongues, what would that do for you? Well, I mean, for some people who've never heard somebody speak in tongues, you might find it fascinating. And you know, depending on what I was saying, some of you might start to analyze the, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? But there's not going to be, maybe for a moment you might get spiritually exhilarated or something, but this is not going to benefit you a whole heap to hear me speak in tongues for 20 minutes. Because it edifies me, but it doesn't do a lot for you. But once I moved over and interpreted the tongue, or if I spoke in tongues for a moment, someone else interpreted in your known language, and you could understand an inspiration from God. Now we're moving into a place where you can benefit, where you can be blessed, you can be edified, charged up, where you can be, you know, encouraged, comforted, exhorted, right? If somebody interprets. So what Paul's saying here is it doesn't make sense to come to church and get up and just start prophesying. And just start speaking in tongues. Sometimes people do that. I heard of and been around people that they thought that was an appropriate use of tongues, but it's really a violation of the guidelines that Paul set forth. If you're going to publicly speak in tongues with, you know, you're going to get up and you're going to have a word in tongues, it needs to be interpreted so that everybody can benefit. Now, are there times maybe, and this happens here occasionally, it doesn't happen a whole lot, but there might be a time if we're having a ministry line and somebody's ministering to somebody, you know, whether they're mic'd or not, they might pray in tongues for a moment just as part of their praying for that person. And that doesn't necessarily need to be interpreted. It's just a moment of prayer. But if that goes on for any significant amount of time, it doesn't benefit anybody. It just is them talking to God. Do you understand? So it doesn't mean that every single syllable needs to be interpreted. But in general, the guideline is that if you're going to get up and speak in tongues, you need to interpret. And we kind of have the feeling around here, or kind of the policy, maybe is a good way to say it around here, is that if you're going to get in it, you better be prepared to get us out. And by that I mean, don't you suddenly, you know, like Matt, don't get up here and give a tongue and then go, who's got the interpretation, and us all sit here awkwardly for 15 minutes. If you have the faith to give us the tongue, then you should have the faith to give us the interpretation. You know what I mean? You can just jump in there and interpret. Now, does God always do it that way? No. And there may be a time where something else. But I've been in the church. Maybe you've been in it too, where Brother Doodad in the back corner got up and had this long, glorious tongue, and then we all stood there awkwardly for 4 or 5 minutes while we all shuffled about and nobody ever interpreted it. Am I the only one ever been in that service? You been in it, Tom? Okay, me and Tom were at that service. It wasn't here, but I've been in a lot more than one. And it's just awkward, and it's really, you know, yeah, it is. It's, you know, here's the deal. The Holy Spirit, as He moves, it may seem somewhat chaotic, but the Holy Spirit is an orchestrator. He's a conductor. And so if He's giving someone a tongue, He's either given them the interpretation, or He's given somebody nearby and they know it and it'll flow. There may be a moment of hesitation while somebody gets their gumption up, you know, but He's not orchestrating confusion and awkwardness and turning people off by what He's doing. We may, but He doesn't. And so we're just looking to get in His flow. If we all get in it, things will be good. So that's what He says there. Now let's go on down. We're going to close up here in just a minute. Then you can read those. I just want to go on down. Verse 11, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Remember, when we started tonight, I read from verse 1, chapter 14, we should desire spiritual gifts. The reason we should all desire spiritual gifts is not for us, so we can have an experience It's not for us so we can look good. It's because we want the body to be edified. We want people to be blessed. We want people to be charged up, built up. We want God's, you know, to manifest himself. And it's for the good of all. And that's what he's saying here, for the edification of the church. Verse 13, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray also with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. So you can sing in tongues. And honestly, if you're having trouble, like having, you know, a fluent or fluid prayer language, one of the best things I think you can do is you can sing in tongues. Somehow or another, that it's just like people stuttering. People can stutter and then they can sing and they don't stutter when they sing. And I found that when people sing in tongues, it seems like it kind of helps them break through. I've had several instances of helping someone receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't seem to be able to get it, but as they began to sing, they could sing. And then once they got through that point, they were able then to just speak normally in tongues. I don't know if that was any of your experience, but it's scriptural to sing in tongues. I will sing with the spirit, also sing with the understanding. And so he's saying this. Notice this. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. Remember over in chapter 12 and verse 11, we read where it says the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit are as he wills. Well, here Paul is saying, I will pray in the Spirit. And that's important to know, because there are some traditions, and my tall granny was of this tradition. She was raised, she was Pentecostal. Any Pentecostals here tonight? She is Pentecostal. And in her mind, you could only speak in tongues when you were in church, and it was a certain moment in church, and there had been this big crescendo, and, you know, usually involved an organ, and this moment of spiritual fervor, and you kind of worked yourself up into this emotion. My mother knows what I'm talking about because she grew up in all these churches, Pentecostal churches. And then in that moment, there was like this emotional release, this kind of release, and finally you could speak in tongues. And you maybe just spout off some big, long thing in tongues. And that was pretty much it. But it would only happen, and it was as if you had no control over it, for one thing. And then it only happened, you know, just every once in a while. And so that was their whole experience with anything to do with tongues or spiritual gifts, was it was like, you know, kismet. It was like, you know, some weird kind of thing. Lightning. I don't know. But we know from what Paul says, just these simple words. He said, I will. What does it mean when somebody says, I will? It means I choose. I decide. I will. So he's saying, I will. I will. I will. I will pray. So you can choose when to pray in a tongue. I will pray in a tongue. My spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful. I will. Now, so he's talking about this works both with, he's talking about, because he's talking about at his will. I know he's talking about his devotional prayer language. We talked about this last week. But I'm going to say this to you. As far as even the gifts of the Spirit being in operation, your will has something to do with it too. The Holy Spirit, it will be as he wills, but if you don't will it, it won't happen. I have yet, and I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit 40 plus years, I have yet to have had a moment in my life, almost 20 years of pastor, and I've never had a moment when the Holy Spirit came on me and made me prophesy. And made me speak out in tongues. And made me work a miracle. He doesn't do that. He doesn't make you. It's even though he has a will involved, his will's there, but you have to yield to his will. So some of us, the reason we've never had a manifestation of the Holy Spirit through us is not because it hasn't been there, it hasn't been God's will. It's just because maybe you've been ignorant or you have been unwilling. I tell you, there's certainly been times in my life I've been unwilling. I've come to church certain times and all the way to church. Matt's driving, I'm over there, and I'm thinking, I ain't having no words today. I mean, I'm just having this private conversation with myself because I don't like to look stupid, and I don't like, you know, what do people think? I'm just a mouthy woman, and I'm giving words, and I'm just telling God how unwilling I am all the way to church. I've done it. Have you ever been unwilling, Matt? Have you ever been unwilling? Maybe just because you're afraid or just you don't want to be bothered. I've been like, I just don't want to be bothered with it. I wore my comfy shoes today and I don't want to be bothered. I wore my fat girl pants today and I don't want to get up in front of people in them. You know, whatever it is. We all have I'm just having a bad hair day. Don't do anything to make a spectacle of yourself. This is reality, people. This is my life. So, I don't know why I'm doing this. I wasn't even driving. I'm sitting. When Matt drives, I do this. That's a problem too. I'm just saying to you that if I'm not willing, it doesn't matter how willing he is, it ain't happening. But I have found the more willing I am, the more willing he seems to be. I don't think the issue is God's willingness. I think the issue is our willingness. I think the issue is our ability to yield to him, our desire to let him move and let him have his way. It's very difficult for him to have his way when we're watching the clock. Which, you know, earlier when I'm talking about how we don't have enough seats, you might be thinking, well, shouldn't we have two services? Well, we used to have two services, but one of the problems we had is that we were on a really tight schedule about what we could do and what we couldn't do. And so it was just really difficult to let the Holy Spirit have his way because we got to get out of here right now. And it's really sad to say in our modern church, the modern church, we have scheduled things so much that the Holy Spirit's just been scheduled out of it. We ain't got time for that. Hold that, brother. The second service crowd is in the lobby now and we have to go. Hold that. Well, how many times are you going to say to the Holy Spirit, hold that, before he's like, okay, I'll hold it. You have to, and I will tell you this, by experience and by reading the Bible, you have to make room for him. You have to walk. Part of the way that you show your desire is to make room for him, to give him a little loose time. But if we're all on this really tight schedule, okay, and I'm going to tell you, you may not realize this, but this is how the modern American church works. You have it scheduled. At 10:43, we are sitting down. At 10:47, we are finishing that song. At 10:49, okay, Susie talked too long on that announcement. At 10:40. I mean, it's very scheduled because we are on a schedule here. These videos are starting whether you're ready or not, man. This is how we do it. And the Holy Spirit, we need to make a little room for him. And the more room you make for him, the more room you open up for him, the more he sees, hey, these people want me, they desire me, they're making room for me. It's the same thing for those of you that are married. How wonderful is it that you have intimate, you know, how easy is it to have intimate conversation? I have 7 minutes. What you got? Pour your heart out. Share. What is it you want? Oh, yes. Tell me your deepest, darkest, you know, problems. Tell me your great, 6 minutes. I mean, it's ridiculous. We all know that, right? But we want to do that with the Lord. It doesn't really work. So we need to adjust to him. Amen. We need to adjust to him, make room for him. Now, I can desire spiritual gifts and God will meet me. Matt can desire spiritual gifts and God will meet him. But if Matt and me and Jana desire spiritual gifts and then Martha and then Jeanette and then Cynthia and then Tanya, Lord knows, and then Elena, if we all desire spiritual gifts and we all get kind of stirred up and hungry and our appetite wet, like, God, we want you to manifest yourself to us. We want you to speak to us. We want you to work miraculous things. We want to see healings. We want to see, we want words of wisdom. We want these things. What would happen if we were all desiring them as opposed to just the people that, you know, are supposed to want them, but the people in the back are there. You know what time we're supposed to meet Mama over at the, where does it people go? Golden Corral? Does that still exist? We got to meet Mama at Golden Corral. I hope Pastor Matt hurries it up. What is he doing? It looks like he's waiting on the Lord. We ain't got time for that. Got to go. We have to make room. Not only do we have to make room, you got to make room. We all got to make room. And I didn't talk on these last 2 weeks so that we could just talk about what happens in here, because I know by the Spirit of God, call it a word of wisdom, that God wants to manifest himself not just in here but out there. And the gifts of the Spirit, you can find example after example after example of them functioning out there. So on your job, in your family, over at your house, what you're doing, at your family reunion, with your people, with the people you're about to meet. I mean, you may just drive up behind somebody to fill up the gas and you look up and suddenly you know something. There's a woman there and she and her husband just had a terrible argument. And she's leaving here to go back home and tell him she's done, it's over. And he just shows you, and you could walk up and just, excuse me, ma'am, I know this might sound a little crazy, but when I just saw you, I feel like the Lord just said this to me, and I don't know, you just do with this what you want, but did you just have an argument with your husband? Because I just see you standing in your kitchen, and you're crying, and you just had a knockdown drag out, and you're thinking about leaving him, but I want you to know the Lord is here, he's going to help you. He's got help for you today. Would that be powerful at the pump? Would that be better than complaining about how the gas went up a dime overnight? Which would be better? Which would you be happier to go to bed thinking about? See what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. It's for you. It's not just for me. It's for you. Desire it. Pursue love. Desire it. Make room. Be open. And then I think I said this last week because I've closed now. This is the reiteration at the very last moment. I said this last week. I'll say it again. I'll say it every time I mention it. The best way to begin to manifest the gifts of the Spirit, the thing that you can do other than doing what the Bible says and pursuing love and desiring spiritual gifts, is to pray in other tongues. Because as you pray in the Spirit, it's supernatural. And it seems to be that the Holy Spirit praying in tongues, you're yielding to Him to come up on you and speak through you. As you yield to Him, not only are you yielding to that, but you will begin to yield to the words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You'll begin to yield to the gifts of healings. You'll begin to yield to prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, as you yield to Him and praying in the Spirit, because it all comes from the same place. And praying in other tongues seems to be the doorway, the gateway into the miraculous operation of the gifts of the Spirit. So that's the best advice I can give you. So if you're desiring it, pray more in other tongues. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, what are you waiting for? It's for you, and it's so good, and it's such a blessing. It'll change you, and it'll give you power, make you a witness. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. And I don't know how you're living without it. Okay, let's stand.